Turning again to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10. Philippians 1 and verse 10, and just part of that verse, where the apostle's prayer is that ye may be sincere. That ye may be sincere. Well, that's enough for us here this morning. We will refer to this chapter if you'd like to keep your Bible open, but that's all I'm going to speak on. That ye may be sincere, genuine, the real thing. The word is, as we understand it in the Greek, is something to do with pure as the sun, clear, transparent, pure, no speck detected by the purest light. And this is the apostle's prayer for us, for the Philippians in the first place, for us, and it certainly is the Holy Spirit's will for our lives, the Holy Spirit's will for our Christian lives, that we be genuine. And this is what we think of here this morning, that we be sincere. The question is to those who say they are the Lord's, are we sincere? Do we want to be sincere? Do we maintain sincerity in our Christian lives, or do we fail in the most obvious ways to show sincerity? Perhaps we can appear to non-Christians to be sincere, but are we truly? Perhaps we can even appear to other Christians to be sincere, but in our heart of hearts, we know that often we have a sort of front, and deep down we wonder if we really are sincere on many occasions and many periods of our life. Well, sincere about what? Sincere about what? Well, a list of things. Sincere in our brotherly love. Are we sincere there? But is it anything like we have here in verses 4 and 5 of this chapter? Always in every prayer of mine, says the apostle, for you all making request with you, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul oozes love, doesn't he? And affection for these Philippian Christians and many others as well. Well, are we sincere in our brotherly love? Or is it nowhere near like the apostles' standard? Sincere in what we wish for other believers. Or here's another thing that we wonder how often we're sincere. Sincere in our beliefs. Well, perhaps, but does it stretch to verse 6, say, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Are we sincere in our belief that the Lord has begun a work in us and he will finish it? It is the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints and many other beliefs. A whole host of beliefs. Do we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do we believe he's the only Saviour? Do we believe that the scriptures are truly the word of God without error? Many, many beliefs. Are we sincere in our beliefs, or do we just give a nod to these things now and again? Are we sincere in our belief? Well, or are we sincere in our concern for others? Well, we may have a natural pity and care of others, but does it extend to verse 8, where Paul says, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. He yearns inwardly to meet with them and to know a blessing, a fellowship with them. He's so concerned for them that they should do better and that they should go on with the Lord. Well, does it extend to that? Does sincerity in our hearts and in our lives and minds extend to such a thing? And certainly since being sincere in our behaviour. A behaviour, but does it really come to what we have here in verse 11? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. Well, how sincere are we? Sincerity is, of course, one of the essential Christian virtues. It is what we call a mark of grace. It is a sign of true spiritual life. If we have no sincerity concerning some of these things, all of these things, well, then we put a big question mark on our profession of faith. And if we have some of these things and they're rather shallow, we realise that we ought to do a whole lot better. We're asking, are we sincere? It's something that can be seen, that proves that we are the Lord. It sets the Christian apart from the worldling, the unbeliever. And also, in spite of its somewhat mysterious character, sincerity, well, its absence is in fact surprisingly easy to detect. But there are what we might call different grades or different grades of sincerity. For instance, it can be the easiest thing in the world for anybody to see that someone who calls themselves a Christian just is not sincere. If someone is not converted, not a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, has never been born again of the Spirit of God, well, by their speech, by their behaviour, by their actions, by their lifestyle, what they enjoy doing, where they go, the company they prefer, well, it's all a great giveaway. A great giveaway. No one is fooling anyone. Such a person is just not sincere about following the Saviour. But then there is a sincerity that's certainly found in a child of God, a true child of God, but it's rather shallow. It's rather shallow. Such a Christian believer may be a Christian of many years' standing, many years of worship and service under his belt, as it were. But even such an experienced Christian knows deep down that for much of the time, sincerity wears thin. And again, it's not really difficult to tell in those cases. Now, the Holy Spirit's will is that we, the Lord's people, be sincere. The trouble with sincerity is that it is a thing of the heart. There are plenty of things in the Christian life that, compared with sincerity, are relatively easy. Well, just to turn up to church this morning. Well, you may have had difficulty with the traffic, but that's not what I mean, you know. But to turn up in church, well, most can do that, but some have even trouble with that. That's basic. If we're not here to worship, well, that's clearly not sincerity and not sincere in the Christian faith. But for most of the Lord's people, to just turn up, well, that's fairly easy. And to have a time of private devotion, day by day, well, again, that's a must. It's an essential, a basic, at least to spend some time with the Scriptures and seeking to pray to the Lord. The quality of that time may vary enormously, but at least to attempt it, at least to come before the Lord at a specific time, day by day, and to seek the Lord, or those that rarely sit down with a Bible and pray. Well, that's not sincerity, is it? That's not sincere. That's not sincere Christianity. There's also, of course, a world of difference between maintaining a sort of get along okay with fellow Christians, fellow believers, but yet have no real deep, sincere love for them or care for other believers, or for that matter, we as a church, maybe in the business of seeking people for Christ, wanting to witness to them and befriend them. But if that's going to eat into our time and into our mental and physical energy beyond what we're prepared to give, well, we will have to sort of give a sort of public display of praying and goodwill and token willingness to go the extra mile. But if such a situation or a person we are trying to help should slip out of mind, well, they'll certainly slip out of sight and mind altogether. And then they almost really, that will show that we weren't sincere in seeking that person, in trying to help them. It all becomes very, very obvious. What is it to be sincere? In 2 Peter chapter 3, this word is translated pure mind. The Apostle Peter wanted to stir up people's pure minds by way of remembrance of things that they'd been taught and the behaviour that had been insisted upon them. A pure mind. The Greek word here for sincere comes from the word meaning, as I said, the sun, or the light of the sun. The idea is that the sun's clear light shines and detects any blemish, any speck of dirt, or to see if something really is what it purports or claims to be, to see if it's the genuine article. So let's home in on this. We have a Christian. He, she professes to be such. He or she claims to be such, and in many respects, what they say, what they do, what they believe, approximates to the definition of a true believer. But are they sincere? Are they sincere? If we were able to shine a bright and penetrating light into his or her heart, what would we detect? What would we find? Would it trace a blemish? Would it expose things, matters, characteristics, leanings, or whatever that display a lack of sincerity, that either would put that true Christian to shame or else expose the fact that that person does not even have a sincere belief and trust in God as his Saviour. Now we can see why Paul says that ye may be sincere, because it's vital. Christians must have some sincerity or they cannot be believers at all. Before we explore a little of how we may be more sincere, let's get a little closer to what Paul is praying for and what the Holy Spirit would have for our lives. That ye may be sincere. Sincere in what? Well, a number of things. Sincere in belief. We actually believe what we say about Christian conversion. It wasn't that once we decided to follow Christ or somehow we just gave a nod to the Christian faith and thought to ourselves that this is something I'd like to follow. It seemed nicer than other people's standard of living. No, a real belief that you have a Saviour, that he died in your place, that he was a substitute, that he bore your sin away on Calvary's cross. Belief in that. Belief in the fact that atonement atoned for your sin and forgave you your sin and brought pardon to you. And belief in this God of the Bible, who every day watches over you and cares for you. Not in some sort of pie in the sky sort of thought, or someone you turn to when you're in trouble, but your Heavenly Father that you walk with day by day, and that by his Spirit you know his help and his answers to prayer. Belief that this scripture, that this Bible is everything, that you must resort to it day by day. And here is the very word of God, the revelation of all that he would have us to know about himself, about us, about our origins, about the end of the world, about eternity, and about the wonderful plan of salvation. Do you actually believe it? Do you pick it up day by day saying, this is the word of God, I reverence it, I love it. I love to read the histories of his love. I love to read the Old Testament and see what happened to the Old Testament people of God, the true believers, and how the Lord Jesus Christ came as shown in the New Testament and his wonderful letters of instruction. Oh, all of it. I love all this word of God. Do you really believe it? Do you really believe it so that it affects your life, so that you're molded by it, so that you're brought on the way to heaven by this wonderful word? Well, do we believe in these things? And are we sincere in our love for the Saviour? Now we come to church and we sing our hymns and we sing one or two that have expressed our love to him. Oh, Jesus, friend unfailing, how dear thou art to me. Is it just empty words? Is it a nice tune? Friends, do we really love the Saviour? Is he the love of our life before all things else? Is he the one we care for? He's the one we want to please. He's the one that we want to see and feel smiling upon us because we seek his glory. Oh, friends, do we love the Saviour? Are we filled with shame when we sin against him and his holy law? Are we those that want to walk hand in hand with him day by day and promote him, and that youngsters may come to know this Saviour? Oh, friends, do we really love the Saviour with a fervent love? Not just a nod in love, as it were, and when it's pointed out to us, but perhaps not long after we wake up in the morning, very soon we think of him and think of what he's done for us and think that we want to serve him in that day. Do we really have a sincere love for the Saviour? And do we have a sincere thirsting after God's word? So that we can't be long outside of the word of God. It's there on our lap once a day, twice a day, other occasions as well, and many other books that we read and instructions concerning what it says. And we love to be under the ministry of the word of God so that we can't miss a service. Oh, because we love to be instructed in this word. We thirst for it. And we long for the Lord to speak to us through it. So it's not just an academic word showing us what we ought to do, but the Lord speaks to us by his Spirit in our hearts so that we go away thinking, Lord, I must sort this out. I must do better here. Oh, Lord, thank you for this promise. Oh, Lord. And in so many ways, we are those that thirst after the word of God. And then, are we sincere in wanting to progress? In our sanctification, of course. In living holy lives. In being conformed to the image of his dear Son. Is this just something we're sincere about? Or have we got as far as we want to? We don't think we can get any further. We know enough and we are well enough instructed to live our lives in a certain sort of way that conforms to the Christian faith and to the instructions of the Bible. That's enough for us. No. Are we sincere? Oh, Lord, I want to do better. Lord, I feel wretched still. And the greatest saints have felt this in their hearts, that they still sin against the Lord in such tremendous ways and seek his forgiveness. Are we sincere in wanting to make progress in our Christian lives? Are we sincere in wanting to build a church here at Woolwich, Woolwich Evangelical Church, set in this dark borough of London? Are we sincere about that? Or does it never come on our horizon? Not bothered about whether it grows or not. It's nice to see a few extra people here and nice to see the Sunday school having a few children. And I hear a number of people go out on a Saturday and one or two in the week regularly. And friends, are we sincere in wanting to build a church for the Lord Jesus Christ in this place? Truly wanting it, not for our sakes, not that we can say, oh, we've got 50 now, we'll soon be at 100. No, of course not. But are we sincere in wanting to see the glory of our Saviour reflected in his church here below, that we might know what it is to know of scores of people that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through the instrumentality of this church and the working of the Holy Spirit? Scores of children that have come to grow up, learning to love the Saviour and then giving their hearts to him. Oh, friends, are we sincere in wanting to build a church? Sincere in wanting to see individuals saved? Well, we've been praying for someone for some time and praying for this one and that one, someone in our family. Perhaps that gets nearer to sincerity. But are we really bothered if they're not saved? Well, that's their fault, isn't it? They won't believe. They won't come regularly. They're never there to hear the gospel. It's their fault if they're lost. Friends, are we sincere in wanting to see people saved so that we pray for them regularly and ask the Lord to bless them with insight and the opening of their eyes that they might come to know the Saviour? Are we sincere in that matter? And as we've already said, are we sincere in our love of the brethren? Well, you can't love the brethren unless you're here, unless you intermingle with them, unless you serve alongside them. And they used to say quite often in different sort of wars that you put people together. In England, the regiments came from different parts of the country and you put people together that knew each other because they would fight for each other and care for each other and have each other's welfare at heart. Well, the church is similar to that in that sense. But do we care for each other? Do we have a real love of the brethren? Not some individual in the church that enables us to come, but growing daily in our desire to get to know other church members, congregation, that we might serve with them and know their welfare, spiritual welfare, and the blessing that it is to work alongside them. Are we sincere in wanting nothing personally just for the sake of some status or comfort, or that will pander to some pride, but sincere in wanting to promote the glory of God, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, friends, this is what sincerity is all about. That in the first place, we want the glory of God to be shown in our midst and in our church and in our individual lives. Now, friends, I cannot believe that any of us are completely sincere in all these areas. How can we be helped? How can we be helped? Well, we have to say, are we sincere in wanting to be sincere? Now, I'm not trying to be clever here, but this really is the crux of the matter. Are we sincere at this point? Are we listening? Do we care? Does it matter? Is this sermon this morning just a sermon? It's just words, mere matter of facts, no real consequence to us. Do we listen now, perhaps even with a little interest, but by tomorrow it will not mean a thing? You see, sincerity cares. Sincerity doesn't forget so easily. Sincerity weeps over shallowness. Sincerity cannot forget. Oh, friends, sincerity says, I will deal with this. I will deal with this. The pastor has brought me a word of exhortation to sort this area of my life out, and I believe the Holy Spirit's laid it upon my heart. So I go out from the church this morning sincerely wanting to put this right, dealing with it. Sincerity wrings its hands in woe at poor performance. The apostle prays that we might be sincere. The Holy Spirit's will is that we might be sincere. Are there any among us that have a deep down, real longing to be sincere, to be more sincere, not just for the passing moment, but from now on, that we will never let this thing go, that it will be our constant prayer, night and day, in many and various forms. Lord, make me sincere, make me more real, make me more loving, make me more a child of God in my behaviour. Keep me sincere, sincere in my belief, sincere in my prayer, sincere in my love for the Saviour and in thirsting for God's word, wanting to progress, sincere in wanting to build a church, in wanting to see individuals saved and to love the brethren there down at Woolwich Evangelical Church, in wanting nothing personally, nothing for my sake, but only for the glory of God. Perhaps we can't be sure of ourselves now, just now as we sit in church. But in the middle of next week, should you find yourself thinking, am I sincere? Am I sincere? And then perhaps you're filled with woe and seek the Lord in prayer. Maybe that will be some proof that there is some sincerity, some glimmer of sincerity, some hope that this prayer of Paul and this will of the Holy Spirit could be answered. But if such things never enter into our minds again, well, we won't know about it, but it will have proved the opposite. But whatever is going to happen, let's see if we can find a little help here. Let's find a little help to be sincere. Well, now, the first thing that we must do is think about it. Think about it. Now, don't laugh at me because it's so obvious. The plain fact is, we will never be sincere unless we think about it. No one was ever sincere about anything unless there was a thought attached to it. You see it there in verse 3 with the apostle. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. The apostle Paul had to think about the Philippians, and then he prayed and sincerity was engendered. That's what happens. In fact, it is an expression of everyday life that means a lack of sincerity when someone says, we're unthinking. You never think of anyone but yourself. You're thoughtless. If ever we're to get anywhere here with sincerity, we must start thinking about it. Just to sit down and think. I don't have much of that. I don't have much of that. That's a good start. That's a good start to repent, to speak to the Lord about it. But we must start thinking. Think about areas where we are not so sincere. Thinking about people. Thinking about our Saviour. Thinking about our worship or our lack of worship. Thinking about our service or our complete lack of service. Thinking about our lives in home, work, school, church. Think. And think, well, I've never thought about this before, really. I've never given this any consideration. I've never really had it pointed out to me. Or if I have, I've completely forgotten about it. Think about your beliefs. What do I believe? What do I really believe? Do I really believe the things that I say I believe? And think, do these beliefs make any difference to me? Do they affect my life day by day? Think, am I sincere in these things? Think about why you come to church. Think, if you could get out of coming to church without losing face, would you stay at home? Think about what you think in a worship service while it's going on. Is there any worship? Is there any adoration? Is there any, not just following the prayers in your mind, but praying alongside, as we quite often begin prayer by saying, let's pray together, about the best expression I've ever heard concerning starting prayer in a church. Let's pray together. And we all pray. We ask the Lord to help us and to praise his name. Well, are we thinking along these lines? We've got to think. We've got to think, friends, about what we're doing even now, at this moment, as we listen to the word of God. This is so important. Do we think of God? Now, you might think, what are you saying to Christians, Mr. Baker? Of course we think of God or our Saviour. Do we? How often do we give a thought to our God? Perhaps when we read the scriptures even. Even the thought that we're reading the stories, we're reading the letters. Are we thinking about our God? Are we thinking about our Saviour? Are we thinking about the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Are we sincere in that matter? Well, we'll never be sincere unless we think about it. Do we ever think of him, his great being, his glorious being, and his attributes? Oh, friends, we need to think. And as we think about being sincere, then true believers will always build up sincerity. It will always happen. If we never think of any of these things, there is little sincerity or none at all. The Puritans would write whole volumes on being spiritually minded. But how often do we give it a second thought? What do we think about, friends? What occupies our minds? The apostle prays that you may be sincere. Well, let's at least think about it. But then we must also feel it. We must feel it. As we think about this, do we feel anything? Well, we're all different, of course. And no doubt our feelings are all different as well. Does all this leave you cold? Does this leave you indifferent? Full of, oh well, I've so much else to think about. I can't really be bothered with all this as well, on top of all the troubles and difficulties and things I've got to think about. Well, if you think like that, I'm not sure I can help you. I'm not sure I can help you if that is what you say, except to warn you that no one is a Christian who has no sincerity at all in spiritual things. That's most obvious. But if there's any pang of conscience about this, even a guilt feeling, well, that's a start. That's a start. Let's build on that. A feeling that all is not right. A feeling that it's not something we're troubled about with for a long time, and therefore I must get back to this. I must get back to this. The charismatics, of course, are all for feelings. Feeling good, feeling happy, feeling they want to laugh, well, feeling that you ought to love oneself, Unless they feel something, they will not believe it's of the Spirit of God. Well, we don't believe that. We don't believe that. And that often we must press on in prayer, in service, in worship, even if we don't feel like it. And that's right, even if we're cold and in the dark and don't feel like it. But we don't dismiss feelings. We don't dismiss feelings, and we believe that feelings are vital in some things. This thing, I think, in particular. And that is certainly true when it comes to sincerity. We must feel it. Of course we must. We know that we must love each other. But to be sincere, we must feel it, like in verse 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. It's such feelings, such yearnings. This old-fashioned expression, bowels, has to do with yearnings. You long to be with them and long to have a blessing from them. And if we don't feel it, well, think about it first. Think who you are. Think what the Lord has done for each one of us. Think that we will spend eternity together. Think about each other's situations and problems and good traits and needs. Think, and then you will feel. Same with our feelings towards unbelievers. Think about them. Think about where they're going. Think about their end. And then you will get some feelings towards them. Think about the children in the Sunday school. Must think about them, pray for them, of course, and then we, after the thinking, comes the praying and the feeling that they might be saved. And adults and family members, of course, if we think about them, then we'll begin to feel, and sincerity comes. And the Lord, well, think about him. Think about what he's done. Think about his great and tremendous eternal love towards you. Think about it, and then feelings will come and sincerity will come if we're true believers. And then, of course, for sincerity to grow, we must act. We must do something. We must express sincerity, not just with words, but deeds. In verse 4, we've got, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Here it was practical prayer that the apostle, in his thinking and in his feelings and in his sincerity, made him always remember them in prayer. And in verse 7, even as it was meet for me to think of you all, because I have you in my heart. There it is. That's exactly what I'm saying here. We must express sincerity. And although that's a prayer situation, it must be expressed in our lives, in coming to church, in worshipping, in serving the Lord's people, in seeking to witness. All sorts of things will show our sincerity. But now something practical to increase sincerity. And to help us further, it's in this passage in verses 1 to 7. And we take Paul as our great human example, as indeed the New Testament urges us to do. And we look at him and we follow him even as he follows Christ. And it's easy here. I'll just give you one help from each verse. Okay, here, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. Try to encompass as many as possible in your concerns, as the Apostle Paul did. Not just a few, certainly not just yourself, not just your own family, or not even just your own church. Don't go too far. Otherwise, it just gets general, your concern for others, and doesn't seem very sincere. But get a list. Pray regularly. Find out about certain people. Be concerned. If not, well, widen the scope of the people that you're concerned about. This will increase sincerity when you begin to pray for many other people and situations. Look here, verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. Make sure that grace and peace are really what you want for others. Grace, that they might be saved by the grace of God. And by the grace of God, they might be helped if they're believers. And peace. Peace with God, of course, in the first place, but then peace in their lives as they seek to live out their lives if they're other believers. This is the gospel, and this is prayer for the unsaved, and usefulness and opportunity for the saved. Pray for the gospel service. Come and pray for the gospel service while you sit next to an unbeliever and know he's listening to the gospel. That'll make you pray and be sincere about these things. There may be all sorts of things and practical things that various people need. But put all those things in a spiritual setting and sincerity will increase. Well, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Well, slightly out of context here and the theme of verses 1 and 2. But thanks. I thank my God. Thanks. Thanks for all things. This is the old count your many best blessings formula. Do it. Rehearse it. Remember it. Go over these things and give thanks for them. Give thanks, real thanks for them. You see, if you don't, well, they will get forgotten. And so sincerity retires. And you find yourself in this area, not really sincere. And verse 4, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy. And here, the practical help for sincerity is try to inject a little joy, even into the most desperate situation of care and concern and prayer. You see, if you're praying for someone or trying to show practical concern, joy is one of those things that transcends our immediate feelings. Joy takes in the whole picture. Joy understands the all things work together for good to them that love God. Joy, real joy, can only be experienced if there is sincerity. Sincerity can be real when there is sorrow and grief and even a little fear. How's that? Well, because some things never change for the Christian. You have a situation where you're in such grief and sorrow and even fear, but your sins are still forgiven. You still have a Saviour. That doesn't change. You're on the way to glory, on the way to heaven. That doesn't change. These are the things that we have joy in. And it's when we have joy in all the situations of life, even the difficult ones, well, then we show sincerity. It's so, so important. Verse 5, just a word, for your fellowship in the gospel. The word fellowship is to do with getting alongside others, communicating closely, fellowshipping in the gospel. It's the opposite of service on your own. Well, of course, that is, you can have that, but in the church, we would rather, and it's more particularly so, that we serve together. We serve the Lord. We do have personal witness. Of course we do. And we pray very much for that. But we're in the business in our church of serving the Lord together. We're having fellowship in that. Fellowship is not having a tea party together. Fellowship may be sometimes sitting down and just enjoying the word together and sharing the Lord's experience and even enjoying other things as well. But real fellowship is to do with serving the Lord together. And we need to have this if we're going to be sincere. You see, we might be a part of a team of members for the workers for the Lord, which is what the local church is. And yet that is far, as far from having fellow feelings, from having a closeness with others that are with us in those things. Some people have managed to do that. I don't know how, but they've managed to be in a church, work alongside others, but not have any fellowship really, because they're not really with them in their mind and in their hearts, like the Apostle Paul had. We need to cultivate a great sense of fellowship in the gospel. We need especially to be so sincere in knowing what the church is doing, to seek the lost and make the gospel known, and so as to pray for its success. Fellowship, getting alongside in wanting people saved. That's sincerity. Well, friends, you see, you want to be sincere? Well, get hold of this. That fellow believer, that fellow Christian with all his difficulty, all his lack of knowledge, all his slowness, all his falls, one day will catch up with you. Look there, it's in verse 6. Being confident of this one thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. He'll be there, she'll be there. If it's begun, it will be finished. Be confident of that. Be sure of it. And genuinely delight in it, as Paul did. To delight in that situation, that's real sincerity. Try it more often. And then we finish with verse 7 here. Even as it was meet, appropriate for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. I have you in my heart, and ye are all partakers of my grace. Well, to be sincere about anything is to have it in your heart. Well, we know that, of course. The heart is certainly the affections here. What we care about. What we care about is what we're sincere about. And I ask you, what's in your heart, friends? What's in your heart this morning? Are we sincere? Are we sincere in our beliefs? Do you care about belief and what you should believe in? Are you sincere in your love for the Saviour? In thirsting for his word? Sincere in wanting to progress in your life? Sincere in wanting to build a church for the Lord Jesus Christ to his glory? Sincere in wanting to see individuals saved? Sincere in your love of the brethren and sisters? Sincere in, truly sincere in the Christian faith? Are we? Are we? May the Lord help us. Amen. Let's sing together hymn number 447. Jesus, my strength, my hope, on thee I cast my care. 447.